Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 248, part 2, the conclusion to Fruitless. Today is Sunday, Father's Day. Happy Father's Day, June 17th, 2012.
Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day.
I think a lot of times we're seeing people now in this age seeking the higher room, running for office, pushing ourselves ahead for leadership. A lot of times we need to walk in secret with God. We don't need to be. I think I should give a caution here. Don't get critical. Examine the tree carefully. And by the way, let it be your own. Don't get to looking at his tree, his trunk, his body. Don't look at each other. Examine yourself. Don't look to one another. Isn't that easy to do, though? Isn't it? I mean, you're going along real good, guys, and everything is going real good, and then you see a brother, and he doesn't look just right. This guy is messing it up. He's making it look bad for us. You know what I mean, like that? And so we start looking. No, we're supposed to examine our own tree. That'll keep you plenty busy, won't it? And keep you busy until the Lord comes. It keeps me busy. I don't know why people have time to examine everybody else's tree. No, this isn't very fruitful, and that isn't very fruitful, and you're seeing a lot of that right now, aren't we? And look what they're doing over there. And you know what? It's kind of like that preacher or that person doesn't have any clothes on. Everybody sees him naked for what he really is. A figless nincompoop. No, I said it, and I'm glad. It's the truth. He should examine himself and find out where he is really at. And that'll keep you busy. You say, oh, God, search my heart. You find anything in there, and oh, man, you're going to be busy. Just with yourself. God knows I'm busy with myself. I haven't got time to judge someone else. Don't get critical, I said. And if you have to examine someone, examine yourself. And I think that sort of a self-suspicion a lot of times is healthy. Be suspicious of yourself when you start to point your fingers at somebody else. Because if you're suspicious of somebody else, you end up being cruel. You end up being mean. And next, remember, Jesus is the one that inspects. He looks for the fruit. Yeah, if you look at it this way, the first Adam came to the fig tree for leaves to cover up, and then the second Adam, I should say the last Adam, Jesus Christ, looks for fruit. He searches out our characters through and through to see whether there is any real faith. Has your faith been tested lately? And he'll search you out to find out if there's any real love there, if there's any real living hope there, or any joy there, which the Bible says is the fruit of the Spirit. And if there isn't any patience and you blow your cool all the time, not to say that you won't get mad once in a while. I have to say that because I get mad once in a while. How many get angry once in a while? Well, you're supposed to, but it says, don't go to sleep on your anger. Why? It's a bumpy mattress, that's why. But if there isn't any patience, if there isn't any self-denial, if there isn't any fervor in prayer, now I got fervorous in prayer, if there is such a word. I lost my billfold tonight. You know how you try to track down, you try to remember, now let's see, what I do, I came into my place, I walked over here, I went over here, and you try to get every step just down exactly what you did. You know when I found that billfold? When I got fervorous in prayer. I said, oh God, help me to find that billfold. And I was halfway down the street looking for it, and the Lord says, Paul, it's in your room. Sure enough, I got up there and I had peace on it. I really didn't believe it. I have to tell the truth. I halfway believed it. Okay, I knew it was the Lord, but then I wonder if it's me. You ever wonder that, if it's you or if it's the Lord? And I got up there and it was exactly where the Lord said it would be. And why did that happen? Because I started to get fervorous in prayer. Started to say, Lord, you know, if God doesn't see those things in us, he doesn't see that real faith and that real love and that real living hope and that real joy. And I'm not talking about being religious. I'm not talking about being perfect. I'm just talking about loving the Lord, okay? If he doesn't see any of those things, he isn't going to be satisfied with our prayer meeting. You can go to all the prayer meetings you want to, and you can sound so good, and you can just pray up that prayer, and you can get down on your hands and knees and just pray up. Oh, brother, when you prayed, oh, you rocked the heavens. Brother, oh, that was so good. I got so much out of your prayer, and you can sound so good. God doesn't even hear it. Why doesn't he hear it? Because there's no real love there. There's no real dedication there. There's no real fruit there. There's no real faith there. Or maybe you'll go to one of these praise meetings. How many have been to praise meetings where people just praise the Lord and they're just waved from one side to the other? Huh? Been to those? Sometimes you'll get into them thing and you'll know the Spirit of the Lord isn't there. You know where he's at? It's probably someplace. He's probably with some whore someplace. Convicting your heart. He's with the sinner. He's down there with the alcoholic. With vomit all over his body, speaking to him. No, he's not in this thing. And so you're into this high praise and you're rocking back and forth. We will praise you forevermore. Rum-de-doo-de-doo-doo. Huh? He's not even there. You can speak in tongues. You can be at all kinds of communions. You can give out all kinds of sermons. lot of times they're just leaves, and there's no fruit to it. None whatsoever. But notice Jesus is not looking for your words, not your vows, but your sincerity. How sincere you are. I think our Lord has a right to expect fruit when he looks for it. Because the fruit according to the nature comes before the leaf. And so if the leaf has come, there should be fruit. Your confessions, I'm saying, must be followed by fruit. You can't just say, oh, I love you so much. Huh? Have you ever heard that song? You guys are into songs, right? See if you heard this one. I doubt if you have. I'll sing it anyway. Are you into songs? You'll never know how much I love you. Have you ever heard that one? You are my sunshine. You've heard that one, haven't you? Well, that's a real... You've heard that, haven't you? Your grandma must have sang it to you. You are my sunshine. My only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. You ever heard that one? It can be sung by the phoniest person in the world. If that person doesn't put that thing into action. See, love always has an action. Now you see some brother and he's in trouble. We'll find out how much you love him. That's why I'm seeing these things on TV and I thought, man, there isn't a whole lot of love here now. Without love, you can do everything, but it says you are a clang and a gong of cymbals. You understand what I'm saying there? Here's an opportunity to show love. Now, a lot of times, love keeps its mouth shut and doesn't say anything, especially on national TV. Come on now. On national TV? I love you so much, I'm going to tell everything about you. Sunday, I said, how many in here would like their mind, every picture they had in their mind for a week? Oh, I said, no, just when they got up this morning. Cast upon a screen. Well, I tell you, if that would be possible, there'd be a lot of people running. There wouldn't be anybody in the church, including the church mice. The preacher would be gone, that's for sure. See what I mean about love? Without that, and I'm just talking about being realistic about it. I'm talking about common sense. I'm talking about giving your life for a friend or giving your life for friends, for a ministry. Are you willing to do that? Or are we busy pointing our fingers at someone else? What is that song, Sue? Where is the love? Where is the love? Where is the love? Have you heard that one? Where is it? Well, faith without love is nothing. Do everything you want to do. Works without love. Without love in it is nothing. That's like we send these care packages over there. We care. And we don't even know if they get over there or not. How much do we care? It's not written in their language. They can't even read it. Half of the instructions you get on the back of a can, you can't read. How is somebody in Ethiopia going to be able to read it, huh? It's like giving them a can of beans and they haven't got any can openers over there. Where is the love? No, it's an action. It's actually physically becoming involved with somebody. Brother, I love you so much. My heart goes out to you. Well, you keep that wicked old thing for yourself. Until you start to do something, brother, until I see something. Don't say that you love me until I see something. You ever been around somebody that just love you so much? Don't believe it. It's easy to talk like that, isn't it? isn't it? It's easy to learn about faith, but how about using it? Have you ever been to these faith meetings? Teachings where they just teach you about faith all the time? And you learn 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 and you learn. It doesn't mean a thing. God is looking for fruit from the preacher and from the Bible teacher and from the Sunday school teacher and from the groups. What's the name of your group? Two-edged sword? What? Double edge? Dual edge. Well, I never get it right anyway. Close though, wasn't it? And so our Savior desires fruit, not leaves. And we read he hungered. Well, he wasn't hungry for leaves. When you're hungry, do you go to the fruit tree and eat the leaves? No, you go for the fruit. God, so much to do right now in this day and age. And so he's coming to each one of you, especially the leaders. And he's looking for fruit. He looks for faith, first of all. He looks for faith that works by love, first of all. He looks for pleading in our prayers. And he expects our actions to line up with the Spirit of God. See, we rob God if we don't glorify God. And every time you get up to play your instrument, get up there and glorify God with that instrument. You don't see that too much in the world groups, do you? No, they're glorifying themselves. You're not never too old to rock and roll type thing? See, it's not possible to deceive the Lord. When I feel like I'm a phony, I just say, Lord, you know I'm a phony. That I love you was nothing. It really wasn't. Oh, hi, I love you. And I just right away I get caught out right away. I can't go for a day or two. If I'm a phony, God tells me right away, and I agree with him right away. Have you been a phony this week, anybody? I was. Several times. What does that mean? Means it was a lot of times the things we do are not of Jesus. I mean, we can go through the actions, but they're not fruitful. So now anyway, the result of the coming of Jesus Christ to the forward but fruitless professors will be terrible. Maybe you think that's too harsh. You see, there's a lot of folks out there that are professing Jesus Christ that don't have any kind of love whatsoever. That's like professing repentance and I haven't repented. That's a lie. If I have no fear of God and yet have united with God's people, isn't that a lie? If I have never felt my own depravity, if I have never seen myself as I really am, low, base, and perverted, we all are. If I have never seen myself that way, the Spirit of God has not spoken to me, or I haven't allowed it because of my pride. Allow God to show you yourself first, radio audience, and you won't have time to judge somebody else. Oh, that's a wonder, isn't it? God came to save us. So there must be something pretty precious about people. What is that? Why, it's their soul. God said, I knew you before the foundation of the world was even founded. Now, that's a mystery. He knew you before the foundation of the world was even founded. So it should be a very little thing to you that men might judge you. God already has. And the verdict is in, not guilty. By reason of insanity. Well, the Bible says, let your mind be renewed, let it be washed by the water of the Word. One time, a guy says, do you ever feel like you're losing your mind? I says, I wish I would. It's a nasty old thing anyway. And so Jesus said, as you were. It means it was nothing more than a confirmation. If you decide, you're listening on the radio, to be graceless, then you'll remain graceless for the rest of your days. Bible says, he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. What does that mean? That means someone that doesn't want to receive Jesus as their personal Savior. You know what's so neat about getting Jesus as your personal Savior? He makes you righteous. He makes you that way. Now, maybe you don't even feel that way, but he has made you that way already. Did you hear this message tonight? I think the most hideous thing there is pride. Now, there's so many people out there that I know they would just love to be realistic. They just love to get out of the whole thing because they've built up a sort of a spiritual being. And they just think, oh, God, why? How am I going to get out of this? Now I've built up this tower of spirituality. And I can't be myself and God. What a terrible bondage, young guys. Don't ever get to that. Don't let anybody ever puff you up and make you 9 foot tall, you know what I mean, and say, boy, you have attained. Because then you got to live up to that reputation. Jesus, it says, was a man of no reputation, but oh, what character he had. A lot of times I'm wrong. I'll say in my own mind, I'll say, boy, there's sure no fruit on that tree. And you know what? I'll lift up a couple of leaves and there'll be some fruit there. And there's only one that can judge the fruit. And who that is? Jesus Christ. There's only one message that's going to stand in the end time. You know what that message is going to be? His grace is sufficient unto you. You know, the pastors all over are going to have to learn that. That is, you're saved by grace. That's the only way you can be saved. You can't be saved by being baptized. You can't be saved by reading the Bible 50 times. You can't be saved, by any works. But a fruit after you're saved is works. You know what? Be the one to do that pruning and not some finger-pointing nincompoop. You say, Lord, I want to bear fruit. I want to start doing something. You know what? He'll put you into active service right away. Right away, guys. I'm really glad you young people came here tonight. It was a real privilege having you here tonight. As you can see, there's not too many that venture down here to the north side. Unless they walk around with 9 foot tall dogs. You want to know something? The north side is no more dangerous than the suburbs. No, they're not. The only difference is, when we have trouble down here on the north side, they bring in helicopters. Lay that gun down! And the lights are shining all over and they show it on TV all the time. Doesn't happen in the suburbs, though. Brooklyn Park, in 1973 or 74, in 1977, was the per capita now. Number one in the nation for crime. Think about that one. I know I lived out there. Think about that. Sometimes it's just the finger pointing down here and say, oh, there can be no fruit there on the north side. You know what they said about Jesus? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Can any fruit come out of there? And the Savior of the world, the seed, that one seed, and we are all the begotten of that one seed. Isn't that something? I'd say that was mighty fruitful, wouldn't you? And I'd say, can any good thing come out on the north side? Well, there's a whole lot of feeding going on down here and a whole lot of people being saved down here. I'd say there's a lot of good things happening on the north side. Of course, then again, I live down here so I can see them, and I don't believe everything I read and see on TV. If I did, I'd just totally give up and jump off a bridge. See, but I'm not into that finger pointing. Because you want to know something? Whenever you point your finger, there's three of them pointing right back at you. Look at there. Jesus, I want to thank you for this audience here tonight. Thank you for the radio audience. Thank you for these lovely people. God bless each one here in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Now, is there anyone in here that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior? You boys are all born again. Where were you born again? If you mind me asking. Okay, you asked Jesus to come into your heart? Okay, what church did you go to? Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Okay, and then they minister salvation. Where were you born again? Oh, great. How about you? 10 years old? Right. Okay, how about you? Oh, yeah, well, that's a good ministry. And how about you?
Camp Jim.
Camp Jim? Mm-hmm.
Like every summer I do it for about 5
years. I think we all kind of go through that, you know, where we get saved over and over again. But, see, you only save once, really. Of course, we like to, you know, go through it again, try to get that first feeling again, see. You know what I mean? But actually, that'd be like trying to be, you know, born again through your mother's womb the same way. And you just, of course, we all go through that kind of thing. See, and I think that's why it's important to preach the grace message, because otherwise, man, you got people hot-footing up to the altar. There are people that aren't saved can't even get up there. There's people being rehashed. You know what I mean? Resaved. You know, right? That'd be like us going into the hospital and laying there 6'4" and 200 pounds laying in one of them cribs, and the babies couldn't have no place to lay, see. So, you know, that's how ridiculous it is, ain't it? You know what I mean? Laying there, I want a diaper, laying there with a bottle and screaming and hollering. Huh? Okay, well, I guess I made my point on that one. About you people back there, are you all born again back there in that back row? Okay. Anybody in the balcony? Boy, there's a lot of people here tonight. Throngs. Can't get over it. Where'd you all come from? Don't all talk at the same time. God bless you guys. I'm glad that you were here tonight. I'm glad that you came tonight. Now, is this yours? Who are these people here? Sister? No, your mother. Huh? Yeah, well, it looks like your sister. I didn't have my glasses up. Yeah, she looks so young. She looks so young. Or maybe you're looking older. I don't know. Oh, just kidding. Just kidding. Sue, are you going to sing?
Thank you for listening to Pastor Paul's podcast. That was the conclusion to episode 248. That was part 2. Be sure to join us every Friday for part 1 and every Sunday for part 2 of Pastor Paul's podcast. If you missed part 1, you can go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts. You're also going to find the show notes, and within those notes are scripture links. Next Friday's message is Occupy. Have a great week and happy Father's Day. God bless you.
I was born to make you happy. I think it's just my style. Everywhere I go, I'm telling everyone I know, baby, I love to see you smile. Don't want to take a trip to China. Don't want to sail up the Nile. Wouldn't want to get too far from where you are, cause I love to see you smile. like a sink without a faucet, like a watch without a dime. What would I do if I didn't have you? Love to see you smile. In the summer, in the springtime, the winter or the fall, the only place I wanna be is where I can see you smile at me. In a world that's full of trouble, make it all worthwhile. What would I do if I didn't have you? Just love to see you smile. I love to see you smile. I love to see you smile.